wants for me. I take what the Lord has given me. I possess it. I possess my inheritance. I possess my blessing. I possess God's ability. I cannot fail. I will not quit. I will always win in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, you may have your seats if you can. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Supercharged. We were at McDonald's. This would be a supersized moment. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over the offering and then we'll shout. Heavenly Father, what a joy and a privilege it is to be able to give unto you, Lord. We pray that you would receive our offerings and our tithes as we honor you, Lord. I call every gift blessed. May the blessing of the Lord make every giver rich and add no sorrow with it. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your people. And I thank you, Father, that supernaturally you will cause us to prosper, to overcome, Lord, to dominate. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, you got your seatbelts on? This ride is about to start in 5 seconds. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. We're going to get somewhere, and we're going to start here. Hallelujah. And let's just read from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Apparently they did this often. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Alms is what you would do for someone that's poor. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." This was a divine opportunity. How many divine opportunities do we have every day? And you have to understand that Peter and John, you know, I don't know how long ago the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. But they had spent some intense time in prayer, actually days, a length of time. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was an opportunity that was presented to them. How would you like to not miss every opportunity that's made available to you? Would that be a good thing? I think that's what God wants to show us tonight. How to not miss the opportunities that God has for each one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, there was something different about this day. Obviously, they went to the temple often. Obviously, he was laid there every day, okay? But this day was different. It was a divine setup, okay? And we need to be available. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing or who we're with, that if God presents us with an opportunity, we need to take that opportunity and do whatever God wants to do. Amen. You know, because there are times when God would interrupt your daily routine. And this was one of those cases, okay? And, you know, Peter said, silver and gold have I none in verse 6, but such as I have, I give thee. Are you willing to give what you have? Say, I'm willing to give what I have. Whether that be knowledge, whether that be power, whether that be whatever, God has equipped you. He's equipped every one of you. You are equipped with everything you need for every opportunity that comes your way. Okay? Now, they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just say it's not too long ago, okay? So what they had was they had the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, well, we know what the reason was. God wants people healed, right? But he needs someone to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is the key to not missing any opportunity that comes our way. Okay? And we know Peter gave what he had. And what did he have? He had power. What did that power do? That power caused that lame man to leap, to walk, and to praise God. Amen. And instantly that power worked in that man. And all Peter did was give the power away. Hallelujah. Okay? So go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So in Acts 3, there was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. And that demonstration was brought about by faith in the name of Jesus. Do you have faith in the name of Jesus tonight? Yeah. That is all you need to access the power that's already there. Amen. All right, so the name of Jesus is like a key. It opens the door. And behind door number one is God's power, God's ability, God's supernatural, wonder-working, miracle-working power. And the key to not missing any opportunity that comes your way is simply this. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14 of Romans 8. Okay? Romans 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I just want to talk to you briefly about being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Notice it didn't say pushed. You will never find the Holy Spirit pushing someone to do something. Now, God does have ways of persuading us. If you don't believe so, just talk to Jonah when you get to heaven. See, now, Jonah was instructed by God to go to Nineveh because God wanted Nineveh saved. Nineveh was actually set for destruction, but they needed someone to warn them. And Jonah didn't want to go. So he resisted that instruction. And instead of going where he was supposed to go, he went the opposite direction. Well, when you're going opposite of the Spirit of God, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to miss the opportunity that God has created just for you. You know that God creates opportunities? For example, where was Elijah's provision after he gave the word to Ahab that it wasn't going to rain? It was by the brook Cherith, right? If he didn't go to the brook Cherith, he'd have missed the meals that the ravens gave him. All right? But then His assignment changed. Now he was supposed to go to Zarephath. But in Zarephath, God had already made provision established in Zarephath. So if he didn't go to Zarephath, he'd have went hungry. Because his provision was in Zarephath, right? And in order to get to Zarephath, he had to hear the word of the Lord. All right, I'm getting somewhere. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Okay, essentially, God will take you by the hand and he'll walk with you. And along the way, he'll point out things. He'll give you truth about things. He'll give you the significance of things. Okay? So every believer, to be led by the Holy Spirit is to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Every believer, say every believer. Every believer can be guided by the Holy Spirit. As a guide, he'll show you points of interest and significance. In other words, he'll show you something and he'll tell you the meaning of it so that you can have understanding. Because without understanding, you can't apply it to your life, right? Now, I imagine, Caleb, that at some point you will operate on somebody. And thank God that you're getting knowledge now to do that. See, you're being equipped for something in the future. And God has you in a place to get the knowledge you need to develop those skills, and you're getting understanding. And with that understanding, then you can make the application of your skill. All right? So, the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the truth about God's kingdom. Okay? That's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. It means to be motivated. Does anybody ever need motivation? When it comes time to get up. Amen? When it comes time to pray. Okay? Every believer can be moved or motivated by the Holy Spirit. Through his demonstration and power, he will motivate you to change your ways. All right? What changed about that guy sitting at the gate? Talk to me. What changed? He was motivated because he no longer was sitting down. He no longer was begging. He now started praising God. He now was walking and leaping, something that he couldn't do before because he was motivated by the Holy Spirit. And essentially because two people, Peter and John, who were led by the Spirit, when the Spirit presented them that opportunity, they were able to seize that opportunity, and that man's life was forever changed. Because Peter and John were led by the Holy Spirit. Now this man was being motivated. He was essentially being led by the Holy Spirit because of the work that the Holy Spirit brought about in him. God said this to me today. You know, this building has lights. And in order for these lights to come on, the building is already wired for power. Okay? But the Holy Spirit is the switch. The Holy Spirit is the switch that activates the power. See, when you hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit breathes life into those words, and he makes them active. God said, "Let there be light." See, where was the Holy Spirit? He was hovering over the water. Hovering. That's what a helicopter and a hummingbird does, right? They stand in one place, and they're waiting for the command. Once they have the command, they bring activation to that command. So the Holy Spirit then activates God's word in you. The Holy Spirit makes God's word alive on the inside of you. Man didn't become a living soul until God breathed in him the breath. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by circumstances. Not by chance. You cannot have faith to win the lottery, because that's by chance. You don't live by chance. You live by faith. Faith is rooted and grounded in something secure. Faith has to be rooted in something that cannot change. Otherwise, it won't produce the faith that you need. Okay? To be led by the Spirit means to be directed by the Spirit. Every believer can be directed by the Holy Spirit. He'll direct your movement. He'll direct your response. He'll direct your attitude. He'll direct who to marry. He'll direct you where to go. He'll direct you who to be and what to do when you get there. When I didn't know what God wanted me to do, I began seeking Him. As I sought Him, as I prayed, as I studied the Word, I studied the Word specifically about guidance and being led. If you want to have faith to be led, you got to build your faith up to be led. So in other words, you got to study scriptures that talk specifically about being led. The more scriptures that are real to you about being led, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to lead you. So, every believer can heed the commands of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left this world, who did He leave in charge? Holy Spirit, I will give you another comforter. Someone just like me, with the same nature. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God? All right? So, you got to respond to the commands of the Holy Spirit. He's here to carry on what was initiated and finished by the Son of God. He left the Holy Spirit in charge. Where did He put the Holy Spirit? Where's His office? In your heart. He said, I will put my Spirit in you. Glory to God. Say, the Holy Spirit's in me. You know, when the Bible even said that He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Do you realize that no matter what opposition comes against you in the world, there's someone in you that's greater than that opposition? So I don't care how bad the devil thinks he can mess with you, he can't. Because in you is greater than him. So I don't care what form the devil uses to harass you. He can't. Because you've got the power to tell him to shut up. You know, it's okay to tell the devil to shut up. Might not be okay to tell some people, but unless they're operating from the devil. Okay? Every believer can obey. Part of being led by the Spirit is obeying His instructions. Because God is going to give you instructions. Go here, do this, say that. That's how God leads. God doesn't give suggestions. He gives instructions. In other words, an instruction is something that you do. It's something that you perform. It's clean your room. That's an instruction, isn't it? When you tell someone to clean their room, what do you expect? All right? If you have a dog, if you tell your dog to sit, you expect your dog to sit. Why should it be different with the Holy Spirit? He's in you. So when He says something, you need to do it. No questions. Amen. See, the problem is when He gives you an instruction, your mind wants to reason. But that's why God doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your heart. That's why speaking in tongues bypasses your mind. Bible says when you speak in tongues, you talk to God. We got to bypass our minds. So the Holy Spirit is a person that has a voice. Okay? And as you follow him, you will get into the truth and the truth will get into you. Because when you follow the way, when you live the way Jesus lived, you'll end up at two destinations. You will always end up in the truth and you will always end up in life. Two things are always produced when you follow Jesus, truth and life. He told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you follow his way, if you do it the way he wants it done, you'll always have truth and you'll always have life. But see, we have a lot of ideas of our own of how things should be done. Especially if you're one that always strives for perfection. You know what God told me about perfection one time? Even an Olympic athlete, they don't get a medal, they don't get a gold medal every time they compete. They do sometimes, they do a lot of times, but not every time. So a person who strives for perfection, you're going to be really disappointed when you don't get your medal. Strive for excellence. Strive, what does that mean? Do the best, the very best that you can with what you have. Okay? To be led by the Spirit means to receive divine assistance. He is called the Helper. God didn't say, I'm going to send you someone that'll do it for you. He said, I'm going to send you someone that will help you. So if you think it's all up to God, then you don't need his help. No, he's there to help you. You have a part to play. Okay? What are we talking about? We're talking about never missing an opportunity that comes our way. How are we going to do that? We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm endeavoring to do this on a greater scale in this church. I am endeavoring to follow the Holy Ghost and to do what he wants done. If that means throw my notes away, so be it. I'll throw my notes away. I don't care. I want what God wants. Every time I have ministered anywhere, I have asked the Lord, what do you want to say to the people? And every time, he always confirms what he told me to say. Either in a song or something else. I mean, always something happens to confirm in me that I'm following him. He tells me what to do, and I do it, so I'm stepping out in faith, and I expect him to confirm it. You know, when I asked the Lord, let me back up. When the Lord told me to go to Rhema, okay, I was seeking God. I was praying. And I told God, I said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And whatever you want me to be, I'll be. That was my attitude. I didn't put anything. I was whatever God wanted. That was my prayer. Okay? So I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, I don't have a coin. But, you know, like when you put a coin into a machine, you can hear it hit bottom. Clunk. Okay? I had a clunk. I had a spiritual clunk. And it was an instruction. And that it came to me. God didn't speak to me audibly, but it just, you got to know how God leads you. Okay? Some people he leads through visions and dreams. Other people he leads through, you know, some people he has to send an angel to lead them. To get because they're not familiar with the Spirit yet, so he sends help. Amen. Amen. Cornelius wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, so God sent him an angel in a vision. Then he got connected with the Holy Ghost. So the instruction came to me, go to Rhema. I said, okay. So what did I do? I filled out an application. I sent my non-refundable application fee in, okay? And I asked the Lord to confirm what I already did. Some people want God to confirm it before they do it. It doesn't work that way. That doesn't require any faith. God wants you to follow the instruction first, and then he'll confirm it. See, because you got to know his voice. Okay? Don't try to have him confirm it without any action on your part. Can you confirm nothing, God? Yes, nothing. He'll confirm nothing with nothing. Okay? I felt led, quote unquote, directed, guided, commanded to go to a sister church. At that time, the church I was attending, they had other churches 20, 30 miles away. They had five other churches. And I felt led to go to this particular one that was 20 miles away. Same main organization, but it was a different church. It was different work that came out of this church, okay? So I'm there. And I don't know why I remember this, but it's like it was yesterday. The pastor preached a message on peace. Can you imagine that? And he said, if there's anyone that needs peace, come up for prayer. I went up for prayer. And I felt the peace of God come on me. And then after the service, someone came up to me like this. Literally, they tilted their head and they pointed at me and they said, you know what? You look like you're a candidate for Rhema. I'd never met the person. I'd never seen the person. I didn't know who he was. He just came up to me. And when he said that, I started to laugh. Because why? It confirmed what I already did. God was letting me know that I was on track following him. And then we were scheduled to go to New Zealand for a month, the whole month of July in 1990. And I told God, I said, God, it would be really nice if I could get my acceptance letter before I go to New Zealand, because I don't want to be in New Zealand wondering whether or not I was accepted. Wouldn't you know, God is so good. Saturday morning, we were leaving Saturday night. Saturday morning, the letter was in the mail. You have been accepted. Woo! Praise God. But see, God wants every believer to be led by his Spirit. God doesn't lead by open or closed doors. God, if you open this door, I'll go through it. Hello? Do you need a clue? No, we don't need a clue. You ever see that commercial? We don't need a clue. When the guy's selling ice to ice Eskimos. It's the La Quinta commercials. And then the Eskimo says, we don't need a clue. Listen, if the door is open, obviously, that doesn't take any faith. That's seeing. But see, God doesn't lead by open or closed doors. He leads by his Spirit. God doesn't lead by feelings. He leads by his Spirit. Now, his Spirit may cause you to have some feelings. You know, sometimes you might be in a situation and something on the inside, it's like scratchy. It's like you just sense like something's not right. You may not know what it is, but it's the Holy Spirit trying to warn you something's not right. And we've got to take those, because if you're about to enter into an opportunity that will cause you loss or do you harm, that's not God's will for you. God doesn't want you to lose money. He doesn't want you to break up relationships, unless, of course, you're around people that you don't need to be around with. Like, remember the prophet came to, like Jehoshaphat's, he was related to Ahab with marriage. And the prophet came to Jehoshaphat and said, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't, or he went to Ahab, he said, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. They just happened to be together. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, you, those who allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, those who follow his instructions, those who heed his direction, those who receive his guidance, they are the sons of God. They are the daughters of God. So being a daughter of God and being a son of God means you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. He is a person. How do you feel when you're ignored? When a good friend, he sees you and he turns and walks the other way and doesn't say anything to you, how do you feel? Come on, talk to me. How do you think the Holy Spirit feels when we ignore him? You know, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve him? Not obeying him, not listening to him, not seeking his advice, not doing what he tells you to do. And one thing about the Holy Spirit is he'll always tell you to do something little to develop your faith. What did God tell Abraham to do? Leave your country, leave your homeland, and leave your father's house. That was something that he could do. It was simple. And as you grow with God, he'll give you greater instructions. But when you're, I'm not going to have Josiah lift weights. He can't even eat meat. So I'm not going to give him meat. Why? He's got to have certain things until the development can handle the next phase. The Holy Spirit's not going to have you do something that you can't handle. He's not going to ask you to do something that you haven't developed to. But when he asks you to do something, you can know that you've developed to that point. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked you. Okay? So you have to yield to his influence. This isn't bad for one scripture, is it? You've got to acknowledge that he knows more than you and that he knows what's best. Some people are like, oh. Because, for example, if the Holy Spirit tells you something and you're trying to reason it in your mind, you're trying to tell him that you know more than him. Were you at creation? Were you hovering? You know, why don't we... when we get to heaven, why don't we talk with Job? Say, Job, how did it feel when God says, were you there when I hung the stars? Were you there when I caused light to be and I laid the boundaries of the seas? Were you there? And Job was saying, no, I wasn't, no. You know, we need to be like Ezekiel. When God comes to him and says, can these bones live? Now, he had no clue, but he said, you know. See, sometimes we just got to say, you know, right? Ezekiel acknowledged that he didn't know, but he acknowledged that God knew. He had no clue whether or not those... think about it. God drops him into a pile of bones and asks him the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's probably thinking, I have no clue if these bones can live. But thank God he had the Spirit of God. You know. And God was able to show him how to make the bones live. What did he do? He said, prophesy. That's an instruction. Speak to bones? Why do I want to speak to bones? That's so stupid. You would have just disqualified yourself right there. Just do what he says and speak to bones. Amen. I mean, Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to the wind. He talked to the waves. He talked to dead men. You got to be led. By who? Who are you led by? Now, in Romans 8, he talks about the spirit of bondage and the spirit, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of bondage leads you into fear, but the Holy Spirit leads you into freedom. The Holy Spirit leads you into faith and freedom. The spirit of bondage leads you into being bound and being in fear. So, who is leading you will determine the results that you produce. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. That is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit living in you. Because when the Holy Spirit's in you, he'll lead you into holiness. He'll lead you into purity. He'll lead you into strength. He's an strengthener. He's an enlightener. He's an encourager. So who you're being led by will determine the result, will show by the results that are produced. All right? So who is leading you will show by what is the result, by what the results are. Okay? If the Holy Spirit isn't in a person, they're not going to be full of love. Because did you know that Romans says it is by the Holy Spirit that he pours his love out in you. It is through the Holy Spirit. See, if God is love, then so is the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Spirit of God. So he's going to lead you into the things of God. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to be like Jesus. He's going to lead you to act like Jesus. He's going to lead you to demonstrate and treat others like Jesus does. Because Jesus said he's not going to tell you anything that didn't come from my Father. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to testify of me. Because it's the same Spirit. But we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by feeling, not by emotion, not by circumstance. Lord, I'll go on this mission trip if you give me the money. You should know whether or not he wants you to go in the first place. It's not based on whether or not the money is there. It's based on knowing his will. When you're doing his will, the provision will be there. It's not based on whether or not the money is there or not. Then you're being led by the money. We can't be led by the money. I know in my own life, too often I'm led by price because I have a poverty mentality creeps up in my thinking. Now, it's good to get a good deal, but if you're so price conscious all the time, when are you ever going to prosper? How does a prosperous person think? Prosperously. Very good. I thought you were being a doctor, not psychology. So, look, does God want you to prosper? But it's not going to occur if we're thinking like a pauper. If we have the mindset of a pauper, then we can never prosper because we'll never go beyond what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? So we got to think prosperous thoughts. And that's going to come from hearing prosperous words. And I find myself too often, I got to kick that old poverty mentality. We're going to have a fight. I remember seeing a quote. It said it was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. But we can be led by the Holy Spirit. He helps you live pure and holy. Cheerfully obey his commands. Say this with me. Say, yes, Lord, with a big smile on your face.
Yes, Lord.
And when you say, yes, Lord, you're like this. You're at the starting gate. And when you say, yes, Lord, it's like the guns just took off. In other words, when you say, yes, Lord, you're ready for action. It's not like this. Hey, Doug, I need you. Yes, Lord. Or you could say, oh, Lord, yes. Right? I'm not ready for action there. I'm responding, but yet I'm not prepared to act with my response. See, the Holy Spirit is the governor who signs God's law into effect on your heart. Doesn't a governor sign the laws of the state? Without his signature, that law would not take effect, right? So the Holy Spirit, he's the governor. We have to be governed. What does government do? Government establishes laws for what? For our protection. And the Holy Spirit will enforce God's laws He'll never disagree with God's word, ever. If you feel the Holy Spirit saying something and it's a total contradiction, I remember at Bible school, one of my friends, he wasn't a friend, he was a classmate, but he was saying, you wouldn't believe me. He said, this woman just sat down next to me and she said, I'm going to be your wife. And he looked at her and said, God never said anything to me. See, she wasn't being led by the Spirit, or she might be led by some spirit. You know, they used to call it Rhema developed a bad name. Sometimes it was called Rhema Bridal Training Center. Because, you know, I'm sure Jeffrey, too, we all had to deal with Rhema flakes. Yeah, there was Rhema flakes. What's a flake? It's someone who's out there. They're out on the outskirts. They're not part of the move. They're weird. They're strange. First Church of Tony the Frosted Flakes. But God has given us His Holy Spirit. Let me just give you a couple scriptures before we close. And I want to just take a minute here. And you need to just practice being led by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 48, verses 16 through 18. He says, come near me and listen to this. Okay, what's the instruction? Come near and listen. That means don't talk. You've got two ears, one mouth. Do twice as much listening as you do talking. From the first commandment I have spoken, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me with his Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches what is best for you. Say, Father knows best. Who directs you, I'm reading from the NIV, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness been like the waves of the sea. You know what that spoke to me? Your peace is moving and your righteousness keeps coming like the waves on the sea. What does a wave do? It keeps coming on the shore. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. Amen? If we just would have obeyed him. Man, I'm so miserable. Why did I do that? Because you didn't be led by the Holy Spirit. You missed it. Just repent and move on. All right? Don't beat yourself up over the head. You're not supposed to do the devil's job. Don't beat yourself up. And then there was one other scripture here. See if I can find it. Oh, let's go to Psalm 25, then I'm going to close. Psalm 25, then I'm going to close. Look at verses 1 through 5. These are keys on things you can do to be led by the Holy Spirit. Unto you, Lord, do I lift up my soul. Number one, you need to lift up your soul. You can't be in faith and depressed at the same time. Lift up your soul. Verse 2. Oh my God, I trust in you. Number 2, you got to trust your God. That means he may lead you into the unknown. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness of temptation. Verse 3, he says, I trust in you, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. God won't let the enemy get the best of you. He'll always cause you to triumph. Number 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me your ways. Number 4, expect God to show you his ways. expect God to show you. Oh, Lord, teach me your path. Allow him to teach you. You may be on the wrong path. That's why you're having so much trouble. You may be doing your thing and not God's thing. Wasn't the path that Jonah chose for himself rough? Verse 5, lead me in thy truth. He'll never lead you apart from the truth. So he'll always lead you in conjunction with the word. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Put your hope in God all day long. Wait on him. In other words, don't make a move until he says, especially a major decision. Don't make a major decision without seeking guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit. I almost married the wrong woman. Well, I wouldn't say almost married. I visited Tulsa. I got ordained in Tulsa in 96. And I met a girl there from Venezuela. And I went back to Tennessee because I was still in school. But we started a conversation on the telephone. And we were planning to meet halfway between Oklahoma and Tennessee. But at the same time, Fiona needed someone to drive her second car because she bought another car in Tennessee, so she had two cars. So she needed someone to go with her to Pennsylvania to take her old car back. Now, she couldn't find anybody except for, you know who, me. So it was at the same time that I was planning this other trip. So you know what I did? I prayed. And I called the lady in Oklahoma. I said, I'm going to have to cancel. And that went over like a lead balloon. But I knew that it was the right thing to do. So I went with Fiona to Pennsylvania. And we got to her parents' house at like midnight. And we sat at the kitchen table from midnight to 6 a.m. talking. And on the way back to Tennessee, well, the rest is history. We were right around Sweetwater, Tennessee, and I looked at Fiona and I said, you know, this may be crazy, but I think that this is our chance. And she looked at me and she said, no. And there was a long pause. And I'm thinking, oh, she said, finally she followed up. She said, it's not crazy. But my point is this, if I hadn't taken the time to pray and to be led by the Holy Spirit, I could have made a major mistake in my life. What'd she say? Yes. So it's very important that you endeavor right now to be led by the Holy Spirit, and that no matter what decisions you face, you're going to seek God's guidance, his direction, his influence, his input. Say, God, what do you think about this? Before you go ahead and do it, because your vision about it is limited, but he sees it from a whole different perspective. He knows the end before the beginning. So you got to be led. It is your duty to be led by the Holy Spirit, not to be led by any other opinion. And listen, when I first told my parents that I was going to Rhema, they weren't really excited because they wanted me to go to a college. And I went to a community college, but my heart was not in it. I did terrible. But, you know, God's funny. After I graduated from Rhema, the Holy Spirit led me to college. And after I went to Rhema, I got a business degree at because little did I know that Fiona was praying that she wanted a man who has a degree other than a Bible degree. And little did I know why you know, at that time though, my heart was changed, and I did a lot better at Lee than I did at community college because my attitude was different. It's amazing when you change your attitude how things work out. So let's stand up for just a minute. What are some of the decisions that you're facing? Where does God want me to be? What does God want me to do? Where am I going to be utilized the best? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we seek your face. We seek your advice, Father. You know best. You have the best plans for me and our life. I want you to say that. Say, Father, you have the best plans for me. Your plans for me have been in place for a lot longer than I've been around. I want to do what you want. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go. I make myself available to you. My ears are in tune with the voice of your Holy Spirit. I'm not moved by anything else other than what you say in your word and what you say by your Spirit. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I will never miss another opportunity because I'm led by the Spirit. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. He orders my steps. He commands me. He teaches me. And I utilize his knowledge. I acknowledge him in all of his ways. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to direct me. I will not go against you. I will obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, as we're doing these services, that means some of you got to step it up a bit. Because I don't have every anointing. And we all are different. God makes us different on purpose. Celebrate your differences. Amen? So I just want you to be open and be led by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see transformation. You know, I got to share you this. This was the awesome quote that I found. And I was surprised because there wasn't a whole lot of quotes. But this one was awesome. D.L. Moody said this, "The Bible without the Holy Spirit is a sundial by moonlight." Okay? And he also said this, "There's no greater evangelist than the Holy Spirit." He knows who's ready to receive and who's ripe. And how many know Christopher Columbus? Listen to this. "It was the Lord who put in my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, that fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of me, my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit," Christopher Columbus, "because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures." That's from his journal. If God can help Christopher Columbus find the Indies and America, what can he do for you? Amen? Now go out and be led. And Sunday, we want to anoint the team that's going to D.C. Well, then we better anoint you tonight. Les and Julie aren't going to be here on Sunday, so we're going to anoint them tonight. Amen? And then we'll pray for the rest of the team on Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? I am so excited that Les and Julie are leading. They're leading a team. God's opening doors for them to do what they're passionate about, and even greater doors are opening, aren't they? Hallelujah. Yes, my lovely wife, my co-pastor. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you anoint Les and Julie with a mantle of leadership and wisdom, Father, to lead this team. Lord, I thank you that you're going to use this team mightily in the name of Jesus. And you're going to, Father, use and utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that you place within them, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that everything will go well. Lord, that you will lead and guide them by their Holy Spirit, Father. They will have administration ability. Lord, they will be able to discern and see things ahead before it happens and hear things before it happens in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you will take this team and you will lead them through darkness and you will cause them to be a light to many in the name of Jesus. And the anointing will be unleashed and they will not be same. And Father, you're already getting ready those whose names are being written in the Lamb's Book of Life in the name of Jesus. They're going to do more than just pass out these items, Father. They're going with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And we commission them and send them forth in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen.
I just felt like tonight, before we leave, I felt like in Acts chapter 3, Peter, at the Gate Beautiful, said, you know, the guy was sick and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you, and which was the healing anointing and basically the power of God. Yes. So I just felt like this is the third chapter of Acts tonight that we should receive from. And I think that sometimes we always come and we need healing or we need prayer or whatever. But I think tonight we should leave by receiving the anointing of healing to give out when we go. And to receive from the anointing of God so that we can give to people that are at the gate that haven't come in.
Yes.
And that have been there for a long time and they've never been able to come in. So I just think that you could pray that song. You could still play that Healing Rain song.
Yeah. Lead us in a prayer.
And let's just receive tonight from the anointing of God. So Father, Holy Spirit, we agree with your move in this house tonight, Lord. And we just yield ourselves to receive from you the anointing of healing.
Yes, Lord.
We receive from that anointing that's available because of what Jesus did, and that's available because the Holy Spirit has come upon us and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So Father, we into the atmosphere now, we receive from you, Lord, the anointing to go out and to speak to people, to have them rise up from where they are, to have them throw off the old cover that they've been hiding under, to have them change professions from a beggar to one that rejoices for God. So, Father, we just thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, that your anointing, Father, will fill us and will overtake us, and that we'll be able to give out freely as we have received, freely will we give. And Father, we speak that for all, everyone in the building, even the children that are up in the children's room, Father, that your anointing will be with them this week, wherever they go, Father, that we'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And even more importantly, to pull people up from a sitting position, Father. We thank you, Lord, that people who've been stuck for years will be released just from us walking by them, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah, we needed that prophetic unction. God bless you guys.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.